Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series, Change Things Through Prayer. You are studying Lesson 3, Put God's Power to Work. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it.
We've got some things today that are going to be very, very interesting and very special for you, so don't miss a word of this broadcast. If you have a VCR, if you got your tape recorder set up, turn the thing on right now, because there are going to be some things here that you really want to keep, you really want to hang on to. Father, we pray over this broadcast today in the name of Jesus. We thank you for opening the eyes of our understanding, flooding our hearts with light concerning prayer that changes things. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles there with you, I want you to open them first of all to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And when we closed yesterday, this is where we were. So let's read this again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able. Now listen to that word you. That's very important. Get this. Put on. Who's going to put it on? You put it on. God's made this armor available, but you're the one that has to put it on. God's not going to dress you up and do all that for you. That's your part. That is the area of your and my responsibility. And number of times, back when I first got hold of this, and times since then I've done it, in order to impress my mind and impress the images of my mind, in order to control my thinking and cause my thinking to be in line with God's Word, I literally went through the motions. It says, put on, the understood subject of the sentence there is you. You put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You and I are going to do the standing against the devil. We're not going to ask God to rebuke the devil. We're not going to ask God to do something about the devil. He's already defeated him. He's already broken his power over you and over me in the name of Jesus. Now watch this very carefully. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I mean, put that down someplace, underline that in your Bible. Say this out loud, I don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is not my enemy. People are not your enemy. Now, the devil uses people, and you have to remember this. In order for your prayer life to ever be effective, in order for you to have any kind of peace of God, or in order for you to have any kind of supernatural manifestation of God in your life and live a victorious life, you're going to have to learn in your own thinking at all times. You have to be very cautious to do this. You have to be very ready to do this, because, boy, I mean, most of the time, you don't want to. Now, you can develop that want to once you've had some results in your life from the power of God. My goodness, yielding to the temptation just to, you know, just to come out against people and give them a piece of my mind. Ain't nobody needs a piece of your mind, dear Lord. Amen. They need God's mind. And so, until those results, however, come, once you do get results like that, my goodness, I mean, you wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Dear Lord, I don't want to mess up any part of my prayer life and the supernatural presence of Almighty God by some little something like an argument with somebody that don't amount to hill of beans anyway. Now, keep this in your thinking. always, I mean, everywhere you look, everywhere you go, always bear in mind to separate the works of the devil from the works of people. Now, boy, like I said, sometimes, man, that's hard to do because the devil uses people. They're the instruments of his work. The way God uses people, the devil uses people. So we need to pray for the people and stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Now, this is the rank and file, like I told you yesterday, of the devil's operation. Satan himself is not omnipresent. He is not everywhere at one time. These are his henchmen that do his work. Now, someday on this broadcast, we're going to get in and study devils, demons, and evil spirits and find out what the Bible says about all these. But for right now, let's look here what the Word says. We wrestle against principalities. That's the lowest form of evil spirit that you have anything to do with. And they come in an area that the Bible talks about Beelzebub being the father of flies. I mean, these things are little spiritual insects. When people get the DTs, or drunk gets the DTs, or somebody gets out on drugs and they space out and they begin to see over into this not the natural world and not the spiritual world, but this out of the flesh world where the devil operates, and they begin to see over in that. And they see all kinds of these things and they'll torment them. I mean, they see bugs all over the wall, see snakes and stuff and all that kind of thing. Principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. Those spirits are the ones that rule these principalities and powers. And that is the highest ranking spirit that we have to do with in dealing with the possession of people and that kind of thing. And then there is the wicked spirits. This says spiritual wickedness. Cross-reference here said, or wicked spirits in high places. Now, that's not talking about heaven where God is. There ain't no devils up there. It's talking about in the atmospheric heavens of this earth. That's where Satan operates, in wicked spirits in heavenly places. And, of course, there are some of them in hell itself. There are some that have been bound into hell forever. There are some that have only been released recently, and there are some that will be released in the future. And the Bible describes them all. If you'll find out about it, you'll find out this drug devil we've been having to do with here in the earth is described in the book of Revelation. I've taught you on that on this broadcast before. The name of Jesus and the power of the Spirit of God has authority over all of those. And this full armor takes its place against those wicked spirits. Praise God. Now then, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, having done all to stand, just laying down and crying about it and saying, oh, I just don't know why you let this happen to me. That's not having done all to stand. You ain't done anything to stand. Oh, yes, I did, Brother Copeland. I confessed it was mine twice yesterday. Oh, come on, man. You haven't done all there is to stand. How much time are you spending in the Word? How much time are you spending in prayer? How much time do you watch all these broadcasts at any cost, or you just catch one when you can? Nah, see there, you're not doing all to stand. Most people think, I mean, most people that really believe they're really spiritual people, when you get right down to it, spend 15 minutes a day or less in the things of God, and all the rest of the day out there battling around, you know, trying to make it from one day to the next. Now, if you'll read, we won't take time to do it today, but if you will read the 4th and the 5th and the 6th chapters of the book of Ephesians, then you can see here what he's referring to, having done all to stand, because he's talking about all these things that he's listed here. Now, there are things that he hasn't listed here that we can find in other parts of God's Word. But I'll tell you, if you do all he's listed here, I'll tell you, the devil ain't going to have much place with you. Because he says in the 4th chapter, it says, give no place to the devil. Don't give him anything. If he's getting anything, you're giving it to him. Now, Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, or the word of God, having on the breastplate of righteousness. That breastplate of righteousness is your right to stand in the presence of Almighty God as if sin had never existed, because of the precious blood of Jesus, because of the name of Jesus, because of the Holy Spirit that has been sent into this earth to judge because of righteousness in the name of Jesus. So that breastplate is our right to believe God hears. The Bible said His ears are over, His eyes are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. So you have a, but Brother Copeland, I'm not righteous. You are, unless Jesus has died sometime or other and we didn't know it. I mean, He's been raised from the dead, brother, and He is there forever. And if you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, yeah, but you don't know what I slipped and did last night. Well, repent, man. Don't bawl about it. Repent over it. The Bible said He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we confess them and say and out loud. And what? And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, you confess sin to Jesus and He takes care of it. He keeps the door to the throne of grace open to you so you can go in before the Heavenly Father like you'd never sinned. I want you to know, when you ever learn how to take advantage of that, glory be to God.
Oh, Brother Copeland, you preaching like that, you just give people license to sin.
Come on, brother. They've been sinning without a license. They've been doing a good job of it without me doing or saying anything. I didn't write 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. I wished I had, but I didn't. But it's there. No. Born again children of God are not looking for a way to sin and get away with it. They're looking for a way to get out of sin and get sin out of them. And when you find out that Jesus is the advocate with the Father between you and your Heavenly Father, then I want you to know you'll get to where you'll run to His Word, and you run to Him when you sin instead of running from Him when you sin. All right. That keeps your prayer life intact. That keeps your invitation from Hebrews 4:16, come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain grace and find mercy to help in a time of need. Glory to God. That keeps your invitation valid, brother. Hallelujah. Now then, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God, Romans 1:16. So you ought to be walking in power. If you're walking in the Word, make the Word the base for your thought life, the base for your speech life, the base for your prayer life, the base for your marriage life, the whole thing. Well, how am I going to do that? I don't know what it says. Well, read it. I don't understand any of it. Oh, well, you just think you don't. You haven't read any of it yet. Oh, yeah, I started with Genesis and I plowed my way. Well, why don't you start over here under the new covenant? You know, if there's a new one, that meant the old one was old. Start over here in this new one. Find out who you are in Christ Jesus. After all, the New Testament, the new covenant, is where your life and my life is. That's where our lives are hid in Christ Jesus. Jesus is fulfillment of the old one. So let's get into the new one. And as you go, study the old one in relationship to the new one. You don't live your life subject or make God's New Testament subject to your life. You make your life subject to the New Testament. Amen. So you don't do something and then try to make it fit into the New Testament. No, you go to the New Testament and make your life fit in. Like Gloria said, there ain't nobody got time enough for the Word of God. You can't make the Word fit into your life. You have to make your life fit around the Word. We have to live our lives around Jesus instead of trying to just make Him fit in now and then. Now then, above all, taking the shield of faith, live by faith. Not by what you feel or by what you see or by what others say, but by faith. Faith in God's Word being true. Faith that Jesus is alive. Faith that God Almighty loves you and cares for every moment of your life. Then, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying. take faith, salvation, the Word of God, praying. Did you get hold of what he said there? When the Apostle Paul wrote this, he didn't write it in chapter and verse. Those numbers were added later for reference purposes. This is a letter. He said, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praise God. So your prayers have effect not only in your own life, but your prayers have effect on me, have effect on all the rest of the body of Christ. Now, notice it said, praying always with all prayer. Another translation says, praying always with all manner of prayer. And yet another one says, praying always with all different manner of prayer, different kinds of prayer. There are different kinds of prayer that are prayed under different spiritual laws and rules. And when we closed yesterday, we were beginning to talk about this area of the Gospel of Matthew. Let's turn over there. Jesus outlined some things in the 18th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Now, somebody had walked up to, his disciples rather, said to Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? Now, already he had answered that, and they had forgotten it. He had answered it already. Find it over here in the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew, where he'd already taught them that, and they'd let it slip. He said, Jesus had already told them in the 19th verse, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least of these commandments, teach men so, shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever does the word. He was talking about acting on the word. Somebody said, your mom and your brothers want to talk to you. He said, who are my kinfolks but those that act on the word of my Father? Now, he is talking about acting on the word. And he reiterates it to them again like this. I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, what is a little child famous for? What is a little child, an ideal child? If you were to say one thing about a child that was a joy to his parents, what would it be? He's obedient. Jesus is talking about obedience, being obedient to the Word, acting on the Word of the Father the way a little child does, without you know, if you tell your child to do something, now I want you to go, I'm not going to do it. Well, now you know how that makes you feel, don't you? Amen. Well, that's what Jesus was referring to here. Now, in talking about this, we don't take time to read all of that, but as you come down into this, let's look at the 15th verse now. If your brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he'll not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more and go to the newspaper and spread it all over the newspaper that sorry rascal... No, that's not what that says, is it? No. If he will not hear thee, take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. Now, he's not talking about his going, just telling everybody in the church congregation. He's talking about going to the leadership of the church. Now, I bear with you on the fact that there's a lot of preachers I wouldn't want to do this with because they'll blab it all over the church. All right, but he's talking about men that are truly elders of God, and you go to the eldership of a church and you bring your two witnesses with you that are witnesses to this fact and bring it in there. Now, all this has to do with something here, I want you to see. If he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and publican. Didn't say he was one. And he really didn't say treat him like one. It said, let him be one. Now, listen, before you stop right there, let's find out why. Verily, or very sincerely, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, here he's touched in this area of prayer that changes things, wrestling with principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. Remember, remember, your trouble's not with this man. The trouble is with the devil. The trouble is with principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly places. You remember when Jesus said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They say, some of you say you're John the Baptist, some of them say you're Jeremiah the prophet. He said, yeah, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I mean it, wasn't but a few hours down the road here that Jesus said something else. And Peter came up there and said, now, Lord, that's not so. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? A man having a revelation that Jesus is the anointed one of God, the anointed child of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the anointed one. And then, I mean, just hours away, and he says, that's not so. Not so, Lord, he said. Now, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, he wasn't calling Peter Satan. He's talking to the devil that Peter yielded to. He wasn't calling Peter the devil, because I imagine it straightened Peter up when he heard that, but he wasn't calling Peter the devil. He's talking right straight to the devil. And said, get behind me, devil. All right, now then. Now I want you to notice something here. We're not dealing with this man as such. We tried to deal with the man. We talked to him in love. We asked him for forgiveness. He wouldn't listen. And you brought your witnesses in so they could see that this turkey's acting like he's acting. And he went ahead and acted like he's acting. And so we took it to the eldership of the church. Now why? All right, now let's find out what Jesus said here. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth. Now, you remember Jesus said, if you're going to spoil a strong man, talking about the devil, if you're going to spoil a strong man's house, first bind him. And then he said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, bring laborers into the earth. See, he's talking about binding the devil that's driving the man, binding the devil that's driving that person to stay out of the kingdom of God, binding that devil that's causing that person to come against you or your household, and then get laborers across his path. It's obvious he's not listening to you. It's obvious he's not listening to anybody in the church. I mean, he's mad. He had really teed off about something. So, he's not listening to anybody. We're going to have to bind the devil that's driving him and pray the Lord of the harvest bring laborers across his path with the word of God. Peradventure he'll hear the word and be set free from the devil that's taken him captive at his will. You find that in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now then, he's not through here yet. Now let's follow him on through. Again, I say to you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There he is in the midst. What for? To carry out that agreement. So now we've got prayer here that changes circumstances, changes things, and if carried out properly, will open the door for God to change people. Now, the point I wanted to bring out in this is this major point. We're out of time. I'll have to close with this. Why account this man as a heathen to you, as a heathen man and a publican? Why do that? To keep his strife from entering into your and my agreement. Did you get that? In other words, I don't want his influence. I don't want his unbelief messing up the prayer life of the other brethren here and the prayer life of the church. Now, I didn't say he was a heathen. The guy's just messed up. He's listening to the devil. Don't mean he's a heathen, going to hell, lost his salvation, all that kind of thing. But I'm excluding him from my prayer life. I'm not going to... I don't want him messing up with his unbelief what I have to pray and believe God for. My, don't have enough time here, do we? We'll take it up here tomorrow and go right on into that prayer of agreement. I want to show you some things about that. Right now, let you and I pray and exercise your faith. Believe God with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, for every person in the sound of my voice that's harassed by the devil, or their families are harassed by the devil, Satan, I bind you and I command you in Jesus' name to leave them, come out of them, and leave their household and go. Get out of there in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, get laborers across the path of those that you know they'll listen to and bring loved ones into the kingdom of God. Sweep them into the kingdom. Deliver them from narcotics, drugs, alcohol, pornography, debt, every kind of curse there is. In Jesus' name.
Whoa, now wait a minute. You ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out. And don't try to jump around. Yeah, but I want... No. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn. And then learn and pray and pray and learn. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next lesson.